I'm Stuart Brand from the Long Now Foundation, and we're doing a serious Long Now tonight. Most of you know the drill. There are these cards that you can write your questions on the back of. Ideally, put your name on there, send it out to the aisle for someone with the yellow hat to bring down to Kevin Kelly, who will pick the very best ones, hand them to me, and I'll bust John Baez with them. Here we have a mathematical physicist who's doing something that is really at the core of what the Long Now Foundation has been trying to get at. And I think I first saw a version of it back when I was a skydiver in the 1960s. And the thing about skydiving is when you're in the plane, somebody jumps out there, right there in the wind, and psh, they get real small. And when it's you jumping out, you're out there in the wind, and you push the plane away, and it gets real small. And that's pretty much how we live in time. But one time, there were two planes, two sticks of jumpers, and I was in one plane watching the guys jump out of the other plane. Guy gets out on the strut, lets go, and plummets! I'd never seen skydiving from the side before. It was horrifying. Shortly after that, I had a malfunction, which tried to kill me and failed. But that the combination of those two events made me stop skydiving, and I'm here today. I learned. We seldom do that with time. And in a sense, what John Baez is here to do tonight is look at time not from within it, where we're telescoping out in one direction, telescoping out in the other direction, but looking at it from the side and seeing what kind of patterns emerge there and how you can get a handle on things from that perspective, or you might do something about them if you don't happen to like them. Please welcome John Baez.
Thanks very much. It's great to be here. Stuart Brand and Kevin Kelly have been heroes of mine, and so it's nice to be able to talk to them, even if I'm standing up here, and the rest of you, of course. So I'm a mathematical physicist, so I usually think about things that are either bigger than that or smaller than you can see, but I thought I'd do something a little bit more human in scale and talk about history and the weather. And so right now we're in a very strange moment in history. Things are changing mighty fast these days, as you, I'm sure, have heard. There's this thing called Moore's Law, talking about how computers are working ever faster. But really, that's just a tiny bit of a much bigger story, which you can see maybe pretty well on this graph here. A lot has been happening in the last couple hundred years, and it blinds us to the overall scope of time. So this is a graph of population starting from approximately around the end of the last ice age till now, and you'll see that it ramped up in retrospect fairly slowly until the second agricultural revolution, when modern machines started getting used for agriculture, and then it shot up. And so if you were to naively extrapolate a trend from this curve, you'd conclude that in about 30 years from now, the population of the world will become infinite. And that's the singularity, when the Earth collapses into a black hole under the weight of all the people. Well, we can tell that that's probably not really going to happen. It would be against the laws of physics. It shows you have to be a little careful when you're extrapolating curves. And luckily, if you were able to zoom in on the top of this curve a lot more finely than we have accuracy here, you'd see to your relief that it's beginning to slope down slightly. I mean, not slope down, but slope up less fast. So there's a little hope for us. But the problem I want to talk about is not the what's going to be the most likely continuation of this curve. It just has to do with trying to understand time on a large scale. trying to understand history when we're standing right here is a lot like trying to understand geography when you're hanging onto a cliff. You think that geography is vertical, but most of it's not, but you just can't see it, and you're scared stiff. So I want to zoom out a bit and see what history is like on a slightly larger scale. And, of course, history is incredibly complicated, so I thought I'd focus on something that we all know something about, namely the weather. So the weather is a hot topic these days because all this rapid expansion in human population and other things like technology goes along with burning stuff. We basically fuel our existence these days by burning carbon. And just like the population curve shoots up all of a sudden in the last 2 centuries or so, same for the CO2, carbon dioxide emissions, mainly from burning oil, coal, and gas, as you can see here. But you can see how remarkably it's shot up from what looks like nothing to quite a lot. And, of course, that has an effect on things. That has an effect on the weather. It has an effect on the air, first of all. So here's a graph over the last 40 years, I guess, of how much carbon dioxide there is in the air. The red curve is the real thing, measured in Hawaii. The blue curve is sort of an averaged out version of that. And you can see it's been going up. Of course, you can make any graph look scary if you plot it correctly. So you should always be careful and look at the bottom of the graph here. So it's not starting from zero. Don't blame me for making this graph. I would like to start things at zero and make it look a little less scary. But still, it's pretty scary because it's gone from 300 parts per million to about 400 parts per million in the last 40 years. So that means there's about a 30% increase in the amount of carbon dioxide in the air over the last 40 years. And as we'll see, 40 years is a pathetically small amount of time over the, if you measure it in geological time scales. So for the Earth's atmosphere to change so drastically in such a short time is really an unprecedented thing, or almost unprecedented thing. So that's what I want to talk about. Of course, you've heard a lot about global warming, but unfortunately, usually what you hear about it only focuses on a tiny sliver of history, which doesn't really give you enough of a view of it to really see what its impact or what its significance is. Just in case you're curious, the wiggly red curve there has to do with the fact that there's an annual cycle in how much carbon dioxide there is in the air. Most of the plants live in the northern hemisphere, and so when it's summer in the northern hemisphere, they eat up carbon dioxide, and the carbon dioxide goes down, and then during the winter it goes back up. And all this is very beautifully visible in that graph. But anyway, the increase in carbon dioxide goes along with increase in temperature, because infrared radiation leaving the Earth trying to get back out to space gets absorbed by carbon dioxide. And so we've been seeing an increase in temperature ever since the Industrial Revolution, roughly 1860 here in this graph. And you can see it's a very complicated wiggly curve. The blue curve is the real thing. The red curve is averaged out, so you get more of a sense of it. But you can see anyway that it's temperature averaged over the whole world.